Please turn with me tonight to the first verse of the Bible. The first verse, Genesis 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Just one verse before us tonight. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And my title tonight is Questions for Life. Questions for Life. And when I say life, I speak about physical life, but also, and certainly more important, spiritual life. Where life comes from. Where spiritual life comes from also. And I believe here in Genesis 1:1, this first verse is one of the most profound statements of the Bible. And my dear friends, there is nothing, not a single word that is complicated in the verse. And remember, simplicity confounds the wise. All is here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And these words, there are only 10 words in the English language, like the 10 commandments. But actually, in the Hebrew text, just 7 words, like the 7 literal days of creation. But these 10 words in our English version have also been called the most tremendous words ever written. These are grand words. And this is how God starts his book. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. My dear friend, Christians and non-Christians, what you do with this verse, the beginning of the Bible, will determine the eternity of your soul. Because remember, man is not just body, man is not just physical. There is the immaterial part of you, which I wish I could touch it. I wish I could make it to feel and sense. But only God has access to it by the power of his Spirit. So what you do with this verse will either save you or condemn you. My dear friends, this is where salvation begins. This is why we are here for. You want to be saved? It starts here. You want to have your sins forgiven? You want to have relationship with God? You want to have fellowship with the living God? It starts here. And you see, you get it wrong, all goes wrong. If you miss this verse in your life, all will go wrong. Why? Because in the beginning, God. So the Bible focuses not on man. If it was written by a mere man, he will say, in the beginning, man. In the beginning, science. In the beginning, history. But Bible starts by saying, in the beginning, God. You ignore it. I want to speak in the most polite way. I don't want to use any harsh word. But you see, if you neglect, if you put this verse aside in your life, you dig your own grave. And you bring God's punishment upon yourself. Not to scare anyone, but it shows again how important this one verse, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And you understand the implications of this verse. Please allow me to say, you are the happiest and the most blessed man in the world. Bible says, it is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners to save. Please allow me to use it differently. It is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It is so important. We don't have to wait for science. Some people, a lot of money is spent in order to find where is the origin of life. But we don't have to wait for science. We don't have to wait for men to tell us where we came from and where we are going. You know the existential questions, why am I here for? Where do I come from? Where am I going? We don't have to wait for science to tell us. My dear friends, my greatest need, your greatest need, is to find God, and to find God according to the way He has revealed Himself. Not according to my opinion, not according to my speculation, but according to the way God has revealed Himself in His Word. Please allow me to say something. If tonight I can prove you God, if tonight I can explain you God, then this God must really be a small God. But God is great. You cannot find Him in a microscope. You cannot find Him by a telescope. You cannot find Him by human investigation. He has to reveal Himself. My brothers and my sisters, Moses wrote these words. Moses penned the five first books of the Bible. Christ said so. It is historical. It is real history what is happening here. He's not just talking to us in a fanciful way or poetical way. This has happened. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And guess what? Moses went to the best universities of his time. So this is a well-educated man. The cynical and the skeptical, they are saying, oh, Moses could never write such beautiful books in this manner. But because they don't know their history, they don't read what has happened. Remember, this is happening, if you allow me to exaggerate, 3,000, 4,000 years B.C., and Moses went to the best universities in Egypt. And you know what is taught in the university, or what was the common beliefs among Egyptians? Myths, mythology, legends, childlike fairy tales and fables. But you see, contrary to what was taught and what has been taught to Moses in those universities, he starts this statement, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. My dear friends, you know, by saying that, Moses is rejecting any form of polytheism, many gods. He is rejecting any form of materialism. He is rejecting any form of fatalism. When I say fatalism, fatalistic people, there are some religion in this world who are fatalistic. No design, no purpose. God has decided everything. You are not responsible at all. That's what I call fatalism here. And there are some religion who should be put in that basket. But in the beginning, God, Moses is removing any form of fatalism. But he is also denying any form of pantheism. Pantheism says what? You hear? This is what is happening in this world. The world is God, and God is the world. You find God in everything, in a tree, in a biscuit, in a food, in an animal. But this is, no. Because in Moses' time, remember again, in his time, a frog is God, a bee is God, an ant is God, the sun is God, the stars, many gods. But Moses says no. And this is also against any form of naturalism. Nature, my dear friends, nature is not your mother. No, the earth is not my mother. And we will come to it. God created us. So all these things, Moses is putting them aside and telling us also, it is not atheism. You know, atheism believes in the eternity of the matter. But the matter has not always been there. The matter has been created. Energy has been created. But Moses is also denying any form of Big Bang. There was no explosion anywhere. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Simple. But because we want complicated things, we don't believe what God has said. Believe in God. Do not believe in evolution. Please, it has been said, I did not invent it. Instead of evolution, actually it should be read, evolution, evil, evil. Evil started in this world, really, when people started to spurn God. I don't believe in God. I believe in myself. I don't believe in God because I don't want to be accountable to anyone. I don't believe in God because I want to be free. That's the reason why people have invented all these things. But how could you confuse a theory and a reality? This is reality, but evolution is just a theory. It's not my field at all. But this, you don't need to do science. Real science says what? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's real science. That's real science. Believe in God and you will find the answer to all existential questions. All of them. Nothing is hidden for God. That's why I said from the beginning, our greatest need is to know God. You know God, you know everything. And everything will make sense. That's how you have to look at it. I have very simple questions tonight to help us. If you are seeking after the Lord, I pray that these questions may help you. And the first one, as we look at Genesis 1:1, who is this text all about? Who is mentioned here? Who is the person? Who is the character? And the first thing, it is God. In the beginning, God. That's the center. That's the heart, really, of the phrase. And you see, God is only assumed. Bible is not trying to prove to you there is God. It takes it for granted because God is the primary act or primary artist who made all things. And by saying, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, it is a call to believe. A call to believe. Hebrews 11, verse 6, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But verse 3 of the same chapter says, by faith, we believe that the world has been created by the mouth of God, by the word of his mouth. So when the Bible says in the beginning God, it calls you, believe in God. Believe that God has created all these things. So Bible is not trying to prove to us the existence of God, because God exists. Your conscience tells you the nature is a display of his glory. The Bible is here to prove to you that there is God, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to reveal God unto us. But millions and millions of testimonies around the world of Christians are telling us every day there is God. So my dear friends, who that this text speaks about? God, he's the creator and he's the visible savior through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a call to believe. Away with God, you only find lies. If you don't believe in God, I'm sorry again. I don't want to hurt you. What remains in your hands are only lies, because it is man-made, man opinion, man philosophy. And it will be debunked very soon. If you don't believe in God, it means there will be no sense for life. You will never find the origin of our existence. If you deny God, then you become your own God. That's the point. But you see here in Genesis chapter 1, you have 31 verses. But the name of God is mentioned 32 times. You know why? Their focus is on the person of God. God exists. He is real. And you will face him one day. But my dear friends, the name of God in Genesis chapter 1 is the word Elohim. And that name is a plural name. Which means what? Not that God is plural, many gods, that's not what it means. But there is only one God, and this one God reveals himself in three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the meaning you find in the word Elohim. And actually it means the all-powerful one. That's the meaning of his name. But why am I telling you this plurality? Found Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It means God is knowable. And Genesis 1:1 is against agnosticism. You meet people, especially students here at university, when we do freshers' fair, they tell us, I'm an agnostic. But you know what you are saying? You are telling me you are an ignorant person. Willful ignorance. But God is knowable. God is approachable. That's the meaning. God is a communicator. God saves. God acts. God reacts. There is God. And one day we shall stand before him. And the echo of Genesis chapter 1 is found in John chapter 1. I'm sure you read your Bible. You know those passages. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So the same, that's why in our second reading, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, 16, 17, 18, Christ is there before the creation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he is different than us. He is distinct from us. But you know, the good news of the gospel is that God became one of us, blameless, spotless, without sin, in order to die on the cross of Calvary for every repentant sinner. So, who is this text all about? About God. And it is a call of faith. Believe on God. And it is a call to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered on the cross of Calvary. He paid the price. He suffered our hell. He went to hell for you and me if you trust in him. But the second thing, the second question I want to ask in this passage is when? So we saw the who, now is the when. And the text says, in the beginning. In the beginning. But remember, don't jump. Faith is not a leap in the dark. In the beginning. Which means God is the unmade one. God is the uncaused cause. He is self-sufficient. He is self-existent. My dear friends, I'm sure many in this congregation met people. They ask us, actually, who made God? What a foolish question. The flower asking the baker, have you ever seen that? The clay asking the potter, why are you making of me a mug? Why are you making of me a jar? Why are you making of me a pot? Have you ever met that? God is sovereign. Why? Because God inhabits eternity. He is not like us. God is outside time. God is outside space. God is outside matter. God is outside energy. So you cannot put him in a box because he is outside before time began, before the beginning, before anything, before the galaxies, before the planets, before the first sunrise, before the first rain, before the first meal, before the first flowers, before the first man. God was already there. The potter must be there before the clay. God was before time. Psalm 90, from eternity to eternity, thou art God. God is not made, he made us. That's the message of the Bible. So who it speaks about God? When he was before the beginning, because he did not come into existence. My dear friends, God has no genealogy. There will never be a test of DNA on God. It's the trend now, it's the fashion. But there will never be a birthday. Have you ever met? You celebrate your birthday because you have a beginning. But God has no beginning. From eternity to eternity, from everlasting to everlasting, God is. But I must move to the third question. We saw the who, we saw the when, but now the how. How things have happened, where everything comes from. And the passage says, in the beginning God created. Oh, that word, please, that word occurs. You can count it for yourself later. But just to give you the sequences here, the occurrences, verse 21, if you look verse 21, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth. Then verse 27, when it comes to the creation of man, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. You know why I'm dwelling on this? Because strictly speaking, only God has creative power. Only God. God created all things out of nothing. No struggle, no matter, no energy. There was no tool. God didn't have to use a hammer or a chisel. Nothing as such. And it was all effortless, without any effort. Just with the word of his mouth, God created all things. But you see, the word created here, the Hebrew word here, is only used for God. Yes, man can sculpture things, man can form, man can design, man can think about things, man can even deform and destroy things. But the notion, the idea of creating out of nothing is only God. So how things came to be? Because God created them. My dear friends, we did not evolve. God made us. He created us. In Acts chapter 7, it is said, in him we have our being. In him we have life. In him we move. So everything, that's why I said to you earlier, Mother Nature is not your mother. God is your father by creation. But now God can become your father by redemption, by salvation, when you come tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ in fear and trembling, trusting in him, on because of that sacrifice which he paid on the cross of Calvary. I did it. I was 22, rebellious, very afraid of the future. But I was humble to the dust. And alone, reading the scriptures, I said, Lord, I come. And the Lord, I'm sure, that day saved me. And this is the power of the gospel. A proud person, full of himself. And then he looks at the cross which is just shame. But you come to the cross, you find life, you find salvation. Oh, are you still doubtful about creation? Just read later the book of Job. God is asking, when I created all things, were you there? Was there a journalist there? Was there a photographer? Nowadays, everyone is a photographer. But no photographer was there. God made it without asking you anything. It's wonderful. You know, you lose nothing in believing in God. It requires great faith not to have faith. I go home, I sleep well because I believe in God. But the atheist who doesn't believe in God, he's in trouble because when he's in his bed, is there a God? And the first reaction when he's in jeopardy, when things are going, oh God, you don't believe in someone and you still call him? My dear friends, you cannot enjoy nature while you deny the creator of nature. In Psalm 8, Bible says that God created us and elevated us above all his creation. Above all his creation. I must move to the next. There is a lot I could have said there, but I must move to the next question. What? Who? God. When God was before the beginning. How? Because he created all things. He made them. And now, what did he create? And the text says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Which means heaven and earth have a definite beginning. And I can guarantee you that they will have also a definite end. The non-believer believes that this world will go on. It will go on. Oh, how foolish we are. This world will not go on and on and on. There will be a definite end because there was a definite beginning. But you see, when Bible says God created heaven and earth, it means God created everything there, but he also created everything here because it encompasses everything. This world is not man's world. It is God's world. You like it or not, you believe or not, or I wish you believe, you are breathing God's oxygen. You are eating his food. You are having his life. You know, we are only tenants. If only you remember that. You are a tenant here. And you should give thanks to God because he allows you to be a part of his creation. I must come to the last question. Why? Why God created all these things? Now, I can keep you for the rest of the night because just for one reason. Not that I have a lot to say, but for one reason, the when is explained from Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 until Revelation 22. So the rest of the Bible explains to us, gives us an explication of why God created all things. But my dear friends, I want to close by saying these aspects. When you look at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, so many times it is said, it was good. It was good. And at one stage it says, it was very good. But you come to Genesis chapter 3, man created in the image of God has corrupted himself. And you know what? We became a fallen nature. We live in a fallen world. Please don't think that I want to be negative, but it is the reality. You know what has happened to you and me? Sin. Many people don't like to hear about that word, but sin has polluted us. When you read Genesis chapter 3, sin entered in the human race, and that creation which was awesomely, beautifully, powerfully, wonderfully created became everything degenerated, everything deteriorated. And now, the only one who could have given us peace, we rejected him. In the Garden of Eden, our first parents said to God, no, we want to do our own will. But will God leave us to that sad fate? Will God forsake us? Will God abandon his creation? No. You know what has happened? Christ, the second person of the Godhead, the second person of the Trinity, God of the very God, came from heaven to earth. And for 33 years he lived on this earth. But we crucified him on the cross of Calvary. It was God's plan. God acted in creation, but he acted also in our redemption. You know what? On the cross of Calvary, among the seven last words the Lord Jesus Christ said on that cross, he said, "It is finished. For your salvation, for my salvation, it is finished. I can come to him tonight. I can trust in him. I can repent from all my sins." And God said that he will forgive me and I will become a child of God. And then, guess what? Everything will make sense. Can I plead with you? Come to the Lord Jesus. Come to him. He paid the price on the cross of Calvary so that when you leave this world, because it is a passing world, when you stand before God, you will stand as a forgiven person. All your sins will be removed, are already removed, and you will be passed from death to life. You will be passed from a life of carnality or a life of superficiality to a life of meaning. Your life will have a meaning. Your life will have a point. You will know where you are going. And the day your life comes to an end into this world, you know where you are going. May the Lord help you to find him tonight. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come to plead with thee. O Lord, make thy spirit to intervene, to help us. And if these feeble words have spoken to anyone among us, O Lord, we pray that in the silence of our hearts, without any witness except thee, that we may cry unto thee, O Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. We thank thee that thou art still saving, for thou art the Savior of the world. We ask these blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing together our last hymn, hymn number 374.